Well, good morning, everyone, and good to be with you again today. You know, back in grade 9, my social studies teacher used to come into the classroom, and he would, you know, meander up to the chalkboard, pick up his chalk, and he would basically say to us, "Well, it's time for a fireside chat." And then he'd begin to write his notes on the board in a really monotone way, and of course it was hard not to fall asleep. So I hope that today I'd like to just sort of have a brief conversation, give you a good thought, but kind of like that fireside chat. And I hope I don't put you to sleep, you know, and you sort of drone off. But I'm sure God will encourage you with these few thoughts. Quite the life right now, you know, but hasn't life always been like that throughout history? Everything just goes along and then some big event or something happens in a season of life that changes things. And maybe we could all say that in the past few decades, things have sped up some. And so even now in the last 20 years, 19, if we go back to 9/11 in 2001 and how that significantly changed things in our world. But since then, we get into the life now. And this pandemic, you've got racism right now and prejudice just all over the news and all the marches that are going on and the rioting. And so there's a lot of things happening in our world. And, you know, I wanted to say that all of this stuff can turn our focus away from what's really important. And we have to be careful to guard our hearts that we don't get distracted by all the events. We need to be aware of them, and we need to pray and intercede, but we don't need to be distracted by them. We need to keep our focus sharp on what's important. God told us in Isaiah, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then you remember in the Gospels when Jesus taught us to pray? And he said these words at the beginning, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And you know, that's really something that is so pertinent to our world today and for the church as a whole worldwide. That our understanding would be that in the midst of it all, God has a plan. That God has his will being done and accomplished. You know, you look at two threads in reality. There's two threads that go on. One is that the Bible tells us that there are principalities and powers, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That Satan and his fallen angels have a plan to kill, steal, and destroy, keep people from knowing the truth, from experiencing the truth in God, to understand the times we live in, and they want to continue to subdue and destroy people. And when you talk about you and I in the church, you know, he wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be off our game, to keep our focus off of what's important and what we should be focused on in these times. So we don't want to give him any opportunity to distract us or bind us or hold us back from what God really is trying to accomplish and his will being done. Because the second thread is pretty obvious. It's God. You know, God throughout history, he created us, he gave us life, we fell in sin away from him, and the whole plan of life has been for his redeeming power to come at work in our lives. He wants to redeem. And you look at the book of Revelation, and you realize that God has a future for us, and that God wins, and that God's ways are going to come out at the end to be the triumphant ones. So we want to stay focused on his thread of life. We want to keep focused on him and not the circumstances that we're faced with in this life. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And that's a great word for us right now, you know, because it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to be discouraged. You know, it's easy when you know, our finances and our relationships and when we can't come together as a church and meet in a building right now. You know, all of these things, if we keep our eyes on those and focus on those, they're going to discourage us. But if we keep our eyes on God and we understand that God's will is being done in our lives, then it begins to give us hope and encouragement and strength in the days that we face. So we have to ask ourselves, what is God doing in my life? Like, what does God want to accomplish in my life right now, in this season of life in history? If this intersection of life, if we can call it that, you know, what does God want to do? Does he want me to go the same way I've always been going in my life in faith? Or has God got a new plan for me? Does God want to do a deeper work in me? Does he want to invest in my foundation of my faith? And does God want to accomplish great things in and through my life? We need to know that in our life, because I believe this time and season of life is just that, that God is doing a new work in your life and in my life. It's the same for the church. You know, we have to ask ourselves, what is God doing in his church and in the life of his church? Because the Bible tells us that God works all things together for good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So we know that even though we're not in a building as a church, and we're not able to be like we in the last few months, we know that it's not just an event we're dealing with, it's that God has a plan for the church. And that we have to ask ourselves, if we're not in the building, then what has God been wanting to accomplish in this season of life? You know, it's not that, you know, woe is us because we can't meet together. It's, hey, let's take advantage of the opportunity we have because God is doing a new work in the church and in our lives. And that's where the focus should be. You know, we don't want to be the same people we were yesterday and that we can be tomorrow. We don't want to be the same church, because I don't think that the church will be the same coming out of this. And if we are, there's something wrong, because God has a new day for us, and God wants to accomplish great things. And so really, what is the church going to look like, and what should it look like in the days ahead? And that's a great thing for us to pray about and to seek God for. You know, I'd have to say that in the past 3 months have probably been the most introspective of my life. You know, it's like God took a flashlight, opened me up, and flashed it inside. And, you know, I began to realize things that maybe I should think about changing or altering. And I thought, I saw things that were great, but just maybe dormant. And so God was wanting to stir those things up. And then I got vision of things that could be. And if we will give ourselves to God and we will invest in this season of life into seeking God, God will show things in our life and demonstrate himself in us and through us, because we are willing and we're able and we're yielding to him. Circumstances right now are what they are. But the idea is, let's not lose sight of the big picture, that God does want to accomplish great things in you and in me and in the life of his church worldwide. Let's focus on him, and everything else will sort itself out. You know, we have began to plan as a leadership team at the church, you know, what's going to look like in the next little while. Because as you know, the government has given us permission to open up gatherings of up to 50 people. And so that means we can't all come together yet. But there's going to be varying views. That's why we've done a survey recently that you should have received a copy of. And, you know, the reason for that is I've noticed that people, some are ready to jump right back in, and some are a little bit more careful. You know, there's health professionals that need to be careful, and different essential services and workers, maybe even parents of children. And so, you know, we're going to sort of look at this whole thing and see how we're going to do this and move forward. But, you know, one thing that's not going to happen is that we're not going to be a divided church family. Because whether a person chooses to come back when we start up in the next few weeks, and or a person chooses to wait a little longer, that's not relevant. You know, what's relevant is that we are going to continue to encourage each other, and we're going to move forward together, whether we're in the building or not. That's what's important. And we don't know kind of what that day is, but we'll try to get that day to you fairly soon. You know, we have government officials that are working this all through. And whether we agree with everything that comes out of the government or how they've done it or not done it, you know, that isn't really what's important. You know, what's important is that God told us in Titus in Timothy, in Romans, and in 1 Peter, that we are to pray for those in authority over us, and we're to submit to that authority, and we're to follow, in a sense, their guidelines for life as a community. And the reason for that, God tells us, is so that we could be at peace, and we can live at peace. And you know what? Also, the government officials, they need Jesus. They need wisdom from heaven. They need God to grant them wisdom. And we need to pray that God would grant them wisdom. Because any man or any woman trying to do this job right now, I just don't know how you can do it without godly wisdom. And so we need to pray that God will grant them wisdom. You know, they've given us guidelines on how we can come together. The gathering's under 50, as I said. Our building will look a little different. The chairs will be scattered around. You know, we have to stay a social distance apart. It doesn't mean that I can, you know, you walk in the door and I come running across the sanctuary and I throw myself over you and hug you and give you a big bear hug. I mean, that's what I'd like to do, but I'm not going to be able to do that. You know, some of you know I come by you and I give you a shoulder check and knock you over. Can't do that. It's your safety, I guess. And what I can do is I can give you a little fist pump in the air and do that from 6 to 8 feet. So, you know, life will look a little bit different that way. But all in all, that's not the most important stuff anyway. What's important is that we know God and we love each other. And we come together to praise God, to celebrate God's faithfulness. We come together to encourage and exhort and strengthen one another so that we can live the life we are called to live, a godly life in our city, in our community. And wherever you are listening to from today, in your city, in your community. So that's kind of the gist of, you know, the one central thought that I really wanted you to know today. Is that don't be distracted by all the things going on. Don't be distracted by what's right, what's wrong, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Be distracted with this one thing. What does God want for my life? And what is God doing in my life? And what does God want to do and accomplish through our church family? That's what our focus should be on, not on the things that are happening necessarily in this world to try to distract us and keep us from the main goal. Well, church, let me pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. Thank you, God, that you are a God who cares for us and has an amazing plan for our lives and for the life of your church. And God, first, I just like to pray for our government. I'd like to pray for Justin Trudeau, God, and his leadership. I'd like to pray for Premier Horgan, Dr. Bonnie Henry, Adrian Dix, and God, all the other government officials that are governing us right now. And I ask you, God, in all of our behalf, that you would grant them your wisdom, your understanding, your discernment, and that, God, you would guide their steps so that, God, they can give us a good life, a good community, and good governance within the midst of our lives. So God, bless them, help them, speak to them, God, and keep them healthy, God, so they can continue to serve us. And God, I pray for every person and myself here this morning that, God, in our lives that we will catch a glimpse, God, of what you are doing and what you want to do in each of us, that, God, we will surrender ourselves to you and allow you to work in our lives. And God, as a church family and a church worldwide, God, would you do what you need to do in us to accomplish your will? Let your will be done, God, as it is in heaven, here on earth. Thank you so much, God. Bless each person, I pray, each household represented, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, we have started in the last little while, or the next while. Small groups are going to begin to happen in the church building. That'll be the first step. This Tuesday, a Bible study is beginning at 10 a.m. here in the sanctuary. And that'll be on Revelation themes, kind of timely. So I figured we could have some conversation on some of those themes and how life today kind of fits into the pieces of it all. And that way we can encourage each other and pray for one another. Also on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. till 10, there's a men's coffee and prayer and fellowship time. It's 1 hour, and it's bring your own coffee right now, and that way it just makes it easy. And also beginning Thursdays at 10 o'clock to 11 a.m., the intercessory prayer group will be meeting this coming week only. That Thursday is Friday morning at 10 a.m., but it'll be Thursdays at 10 a.m. every week coming. So, hey, we hope you have an amazing day, and we'll talk to you soon, and may God bless you and give you a fantastic week. Amen.